I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In the pantheon of walk-off possibilities, Bases Loaded Walk is right up there with, oh, I don't know, a nice bowl of oatmeal, a documentary about a cardboard factory. But from the files of Beggars Can't Be Choosers, a win is a win, and thank you, Texas Rangers, for taking some of the sting out of what would happen down the road some 3 hours later. Yeah, yeah, congratulations, Blues. Sing your Gloria, plan your parade. At least the news was good Wednesday at Fenway. While the Blues beat the Bruins 4-3, at least the Sox beat Texas 4-3. And that we will recap very happily right about now.
It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. Oh, it's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
It had been a hailstorm of humiliation. A 1-5 homestand, 10-20 against winning teams. One of those, the Rangers. Yeah, I know that's a hockey team, too. We'll table the hockey. Let's get into some baseball. Josh Lewin with you, and let's kind of frame this. I think it's instructive, actually. The Texas Rangers last year were 67-95. They were 41 games worse than the Red Sox in the win column, 340 runs worse than the Red Sox in run differential. Their big offseason moves were signing Lance Lynn and trading away Jurickson Profar. They did sign Hunter Pence to a minor league contract at the beginning of spring training, and it turns out he's actually pretty good still, but look, the forecast for the Rangers weren't exactly optimistic. They've run through 12 starting pitchers. Rougned Odor's got a 248 OBP. Bullpen has not exactly been stellar for them. Ronald Guzman and Nomar Mazara aren't tearing it up. Yet, they began this game 3 games better in the standings than the awesome, amazing Boston Red Sox, or at least what's left of the Red Sox. So I think we kind of need to talk about that for a moment. Because think about who was pitching at various points over the last few games. Darwinson Hernandez, Ryan Weber, Colton Brewer, Mike Schworn, Josh Taylor, Josh Smith, Bobby Pointer. Red Sox needed all those guys the last week. Tuesday, 8 walks given up by Boston pitchers that tied a season high. And in the 9th innings of games this year, ERA of 6. It's the worst inning in terms of ERA that the Red Sox have this year. And I know a lot of that was Tyler Thornburg working on things in 10-2 games, but still, Ryan Brazier, May 2nd and before that, had a 1.3 ERA. Since then, he's got a 6. Matt Barnes, before May 19th, 1.5 ERA. Since then, 9.9. Marcus Walden, before May 19th, had a 1.37. He's been at 5.6 ever since. So there's some regression from a lot of the bullpen. We should mention Heath Hembree's been great. Brandon Workman's been terrific. He only had one real blemish. That was a game at Yankee Stadium where he only got one out, gave up 3 earned runs. But other than that, he's been brilliant. But remember, last year, other than Velazquez and Johnson, the Red Sox had basically no need for desperation pitching. They had one start from Jalen Beeks. They had one from William Cuevas. And they really didn't need to push through any minor leaguers, didn't need to rush anybody. The lack of organizational depth was not exposed at all. Kind of has been this year. And you thought that might be the case in this game once Rick Porcello left. Porcello allowed a couple runs in the first inning. And that, unfortunately, has been kind of a thing for Porcello this year. Thankfully, he's gotten better as games have gone on. But it was Hunter Pence with the 2 RBI base hit in the first. And I got to admit, I got a bit of a man crush on Hunter Pence because he doesn't really care what it looks like up there. The choked up lumberjack swings, throws like he doesn't have an elbow. To borrow a phrase, he does it his way. He's got one batting glove. You watch him swing, and you'd kind of like to find the scout that scouted him, and you'd like to ask him, how and why did you think this would ever work out? But here he is. He's 36 years old. He's still getting it done for his hometown team in Arlington, Texas, no less. So I got a little bit of love for Hunter Pence, I'll admit it, partially because his name sounds like underpants, which I think is funny. Anyway, 2-0 Texas, and then bottom one, Devers, who should be an all-star, of course, against Lance Lynn. 8-pitch at bat. He ends with a single rolled in a center. That scores Benintendi, who had doubled. Benny was 3-for-41 in first innings at one point, you might remember. Now he's 4-for-his-last-6 in first innings. Porcello, as is usually the case, he settles down. 301 batting average against Porcello first time through the order. After though, after that, it's 239. So no problems there. Sox would eventually tie the game in the bottom of the third. Bradley leadoff walk. Benny a two-out triple this time. Bottom of the fifth, Sox would take the lead. Chavis an infield single. Benny two-out RBI double. Going the other way, deep left center. So not really cycle material because he's missing the home run and the single here. But two doubles and a triple will absolutely work. Benintendi always seemed like a prime cycle suspect to me because he's got triple speed, doubles power. He'll pop the occasional dong. And look, if Benji Molina can hit for the cycle at Fenway, someday so can Benintendi. As it stands, the last cyclist for the Sox, you might know Brock Holt in the playoffs last year, Betts against the Blue Jays last year, Holt in 15 against Atlanta, John Valentin in 1996, I think against the White Sox. I used to really like John Valentin, big Jimmy Fund guy, big game player. Seven runs batted in that game against the Indians in the playoffs, 99 ALDS. Just a made-for-Fenway, dead pull right-hand hitter, Seton Hall pirate. Liked me some John Valentin. Anyway, I've kind of drifted off course here. We go to the eighth inning. Porcello's out. 3-2. Rangers trail the Red Sox, and the bullpen coughs it up. Workman hits Shin-Soo Chu with one out. Delino DeShields Jr. drops down a sack bunt. Vasquez throws it away. So now it's second and third, one out. Elvis Andrews, the sack fly. There's your tie game. Mazzara intentionally walked to get to the dangerous and resurgent Tasmanian Devil wannabe Hunter Pence, and he strikes out. So, just like the Stanley Cup final at that point, 3-3, the 11th blown save of the year for the Red Sox, too, by the way. We're not just kind of easing past that. I got to point that out. Anyway, bottom of the eighth, Benny pops out. J.D. Martinez strikes out. Nothing happening here. So, top of the ninth, Matt Barnes works around a walk. And we're thinking, okay, bottom nine, let's go. Puck drop is 60 minutes away. Time is of the essence here, gentlemen. Jesse Chavez pitching, that's tough because he's got a 23-inning scoreless streak, longest active streak in the majors. Vasquez leading off, trying to atone for the error. He does. Deep drive to center. Could it be? Could it be gone? Almost. I mean, it was towards the triangle. It's short hops. It's a double. Might have been a triple if it stayed in play. But no matter. Marco Hernandez pinch runs at second. Up comes JBJ. Problem with that is Jackie Bradley Jr., 6 strikeouts and 9 career at-bats against Chavez. But looky here. Base hit right field. First and third, nobody out. And the puck drop now less than an hour away. So come on, Chavis. Fly ball of any depth will do it. They pitch him away. He fails to take the bait. Good job. It's a 5-pitch walk. And now bases loaded, nobody out for Mookie Betts, who is 1-for-8 lifetime against Chavez. And he doesn't even need to swing. As the teams basically hit the ice for warm-ups at the Garden, it's ball one, ball two, ball three, ball four. Ball game over and a much-needed Red Sox win. On the subject of Mookie, I've seen a couple of columns out there lately suggesting that if this season doesn't U-turn, do you consider moving Mookie? And at first blush, I would say trading the defending MVP in his prime is borderline insane, unless you're completely convinced he's not going to sign a long-term extension. And that's where you say, okay, you know what? Moving him now, starting a very modified rebuild, shouldn't be completely off the table. Maybe not as crazy as you thought. I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying if this season kind of spirals here, I think it's something you have to consider, whether it's just looking at these Texas Rangers, they flipped Mark Teixeira to Atlanta, right, when Teixeira was in his prime. Didn't know if they could re-sign him. They got Elvis Andrews back. He's still with them. Neftali Feliz helped him go to the World Series twice. They got Matt Harrison in that deal. He was a Game 7 World Series starter. So it's just a talking point. It's not been a vintage Mookie season, but he did drive in the winner in this one, and he got everyone in front of their TVs in time for Game 7. Once this one was over, the boys in the booth spoke to one of the stars of the game. It was Christian Vasquez. Always a good time to hear him, so here you go.
Christian, congratulations. Huge hit in the ninth inning there against Chavez. He had a 23-inning scoreless streak. Were you looking for something there?
Yeah, I know. I read in the report that he liked his cutter, so I was looking a good cutter middle end to drive it.
Yeah, you know, Christian, I was actually just saying that. Please throw him a cutter middle in and leave this yard right now. But it was actually kind of outer half. So give you a lot of credit staying on it too, right? Using that big part of the ballpark because you pull off of it, you pop up, but you stayed on it and drove it to right center.
Yeah, I was very close to the plate, to home plate, yep. And, you know, trying to see the ball about good. And you know, I get the pitch and drive it. You know, I hit it well and, you know, get the double.
Did you call for more fastballs today with both Workman and Barnes?
Yeah, everybody knows that. Those guys throw a lot of curveballs, so we changed a little bit of the plan and, you know, get success, you know.
Yeah, one of the things, too, with Barnes, I saw back-to-back changeups you guys threw, too, almost like just showing that third pitch just to kind of get the hitter off.
Yeah, that's the plan today, you know. You know, everybody in the league know that those guys have the best curveball in the league and, you know, we need to, you know, make adjustments.
Well, Christian, it's a shame Rick couldn't get the win because he pitched so well at one point, retiring 15 in a row. He just had that little hiccup there in the first inning, but otherwise he was nearly perfect, huh?
Yeah, he was, you know, attacking the hitters, you know, only two runs in the first, you know, in the first inning. And after that, he was outstanding. You know, I think the slider was working today, both to righties and lefties and, you know, fastball up.
So now you're going to have to remind Rafael that that ball lands in that little dirt circle. That is your ball or what?
I tell him, you know, it's my ball. It's my ball. I need that percent up, you know. But, yeah, it's fun game, and, you know, thank God we got the W.
Yeah, and that bunt by the Shields there, that was you always take a good angle, but the runner was pretty close to the bag there, wasn't he?
Yeah. In that play, I got my mask in my eyes. I can't see. I throw it with no eyes, so – it was tough, but, you know, does not matter. We got the W.
That's it.
Yeah, you know, it's been a tough homestand, right, coming up to this game here. So it's just an important W, it seemed like, for you guys today.
Yeah. We're a little bit, you know, a little bit down right now. But this win, you know, I hope we continue to play like this today. And, you know, the bats coming and the pitchers, that they do their job. And, you know, we're going to be fine.
Well, Christian, I don't know if you didn't grow up as a big hockey fan, but are you caught up in what the Bruins have tonight?
We need that. I think it's going to be history for this city, you know, three championship in 1 year. So it's going to be a fun night.
And you'll be watching. Very good. Thank you so much, Christian. Congratulations.
All right, thanks, guys. 4 runs, 10 hits, 1 error for the Sox, 3-5-0 for the Rangers. Barnes gets himself a win. Porcello, a no decision with 6 2/3 innings of 5-hit ball. Only 2 hits after that troublesome first inning. And the Sox are above 500 again, albeit barely, 35-34. To the manager, Alex Cora.
He's been talking about this the last week, making adjustments and using the big part of the field. And today he put some great swings, started with, you know, going the other way. And, you know, we need him to start driving the ball, you know. And it's not pull side, it's not homers, you know. He can hit 40 doubles, 45 doubles, and we take that. He's a complete hitter. So it was good to see him swing the bat the way he did tonight. Yesterday he put a good swing, the ball to straight center, and, you know, the home run the other day. So he's in a good place right now.
Sean, on the right. He probably was not as aggressive in the leadoff spot at times as you would like. Today he saw 5 pitches and had 2 doubles. Is he kind of getting back to that now?
I don't know. We had a lot of conversations and asked him to do whatever he wanted in the little spot. It just seemed that he wasn't comfortable, but now the other guy is not getting on base. So, you know, it's the give and take, whatever. But we're going to roll with this, like I said, the rest of the season. You know, the first at bat in this 2 spot in New York, it's a 14-pitch at bat or something like that. I was like, okay, I get it. Let's roll like this. And, you know, Mookie's getting at-bats with men on. You know, as long as Jackie, Christian, and those guys get on, he's going to get his. It's the only thing that, you know, that first at-bat is with nobody on, but he can change the game too.
It's good to see that Christian jumped out that rally after
halfway. Yeah, he had a great game behind the plate. You know, first inning, we got 2 outs, 0-2 count, and they scored 2 runs. And after that, he stayed in there with Rick and called a great game. You know, and the play, I mean, it's a do or die play. He just threw it away, but I mean, that was a good swing. And it's good to see him, you know, staying the other way. Not to right field, but in that gap. That was a good swing.
With an outing like this, what
could
that do for Rick going forward?
I think he's been throwing the ball well, honestly. With just one pitch here to Kiermaier, you know, in New York. I forgot which pitch was it, but it's not like he's making too many mistakes. It's just a matter of, you know, like when he makes it, it's man at second, third, two outs, and we pay the price. But tonight he made some good pitches. He stayed using his fastball in and out and had great tempo, did a good job with Christian. So, you know, it's just one of those that, you know, tomorrow we got David and you know, we can keep rolling. You know, that's the thing, you know, just put quality starts. That's the important thing and give the offense a chance to score runs.
Obviously, you're not where you want to be at this point in the season, but is it you reported dipping below 500?
I've been saying the goal is to get to five over. That's we need to get there, you know. And I say sooner rather than later, and it's been like later, you know. But we still got time to do that.
With Mookie up there, did you feel one way or another that run was going to score?
Yeah, I actually thought that he was going to get a pitch that he can drive, you know. But he was patient enough. I think the 2-1, you know, he was after it, and he lay off of it. It was a good at bat. Christian, more balance, driving the ball, not trying to hit singles in between that first base, second ball. You know, he's driving the ball. He worked hard, like I said, in the off season with his swing. I think October was great for him as far as like confidence, and you know, he's been more aggressive. I think he's also, although he's swinging and missing a little bit more, but he's been more aggressive in the strike zone, which is great.
All right, there's the skipper. So now one game left against the Rangers. They won't see him again until the very end of the season, the penultimate series of the year. Matter of fact, it's going to be David Price on Thursday night against the righty Adrian Sampson. David Price, let's talk about him. David Price should be an all-star with a 2.7 ERA, 14 walks, 69 strikeouts, giggity. Lowest ERA among Red Sox starters kind of by far right now. And in fact, since May 20th, 1.13 ERA, 2.05 opponent's batting average. Last time out, that was against Tampa Bay, second game of the doubleheader, closing out that very long day at Fenway, a 10-strikeout game. He's only allowed one home run in his last four starts. I like that, too. Six innings or better each of his last three starts. So looking forward to some more greatness from David Price, and maybe the Red Sox actually square this series 2-2 with the Texas Rangers. Josh Lewin reporting. Sorry it didn't go better for the Bruins, obviously, but at least the Red Sox got their walk-off walk, and we'll walk it off ourselves now to the distant sunset in the podcast frontier. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.